God, if by God's grace that we speak again. God bless you and goodbye.
And you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
Hear music and sounds, radio art and melodies every day from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Weekdays, there is all sorts of local talk, interviews with your friends and neighbors, music from down in the valley, previews of local events and more. Weekdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Then stay tuned for WGXC Live at 8 p.m. with live DJs, live events, live broadcasts, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You've tuned in to the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of the stories you hear or hear. I'm Tom Rowan Acra. Melanie Lekosovic is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the old Coxsackie Water Tower near Manton Street in the village was demolished early Saturday, February 20th. Residents lined the street and watched from the Coxsackie Senior Center parking lot as the tower came down at 10 a.m. Quote, "It was the end of an era. That's why I am here," unquote, said Coxsackie resident Pat Myers. A muted bang took down the decades-old tower behind the Coxsackie Cemetery as spectators watched in awe. "The water tower has not been in use for years," said Alan Tavener from Delaware Engineering, the village's engineering company. The village contracted with Wargo Demolition to bring it down. Quote, "It's made of steel. There is no asbestos or any contaminated material, so it will just be hauled off to Albany for scrap," unquote, Tavener said. The water tower used to supply the village with water that was piped from the Climax Reservoir. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Evan Anstey is reporting for WIVB.com that State Attorney General Letitia James is leading a multi-state coalition of 17 different attorneys general calling for the cancellation of up to $50,000 in federal student loans for all borrowers nationwide. Senate Resolution 46 and House Resolution 100 call on President Joe Biden to use his authority to make this happen. Quote, "Student loan debt holds too many struggling borrowers down and prevents them from achieving financial stability," unquote, James says. Quote, "Canceling up to $50,000 in student loan debt will not only free these borrowers to move forward with their lives, but will simultaneously help close the racial wealth gap and move our economy to new heights," unquote. According to James's office, as many as 1 in 5 federal student loan borrowers are in default, and only 2% of borrowers who applied for loan discharges under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program have been granted a discharge. Read more about the story at WIVB.com. And Alila Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the plan to turn the former TGA Auto Service Center at 735-737 Columbia Street in Hudson into a bar, restaurant, and brewery has fallen through. Emma and Paul O'Donnell's proposal was approved by the planning board in October, but the sale did not go through, said Josephine Cusimano, co-owner of TJ Auto. Cusimano said they plan to put the property back on the market and to close the business at the end of the month when she and her husband retire. Josephine and Antonio Cusmano opened the business in 1974. In other brewery news, the Galvin Foundation announced on February 18th it will rent space to a company called Return Brewing at the location just across the street from TJ's at 724 Columbia. That brewery is expected to open in 6 months, according to the foundation. The brewery company is responsible for obtaining any needed approvals from the city and has not done anything as yet, said Dan Kent, Galvin Foundation Vice President of Initiatives. The project has to be reviewed by the planning board, Chair Betsy Gramkow said. Whether the six-month prediction seems feasible, Gramkow could not say without a project proposal in hand. The public information on Return Brewery is sketchy, and the company does not have a website. The company spokesperson said last week Return Brewing is excited to announce its plans, but is not ready to disclose details. What is known is the company intends to distribute its products to local restaurants while maintaining relationships in New York City. The brewery will operate out of the former Gifford Foundry building, built in 1856. It formerly housed Van Cleek's Tire. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a cold but sunny Sunday with a high of just 22 degrees and wind chill values as low as negative 7. Sunday night there is a chance of snow, a 30% chance, mainly after 4 a.m. with clouds overnight and a low around 15. Monday snow is expected. There's an 80% chance, mainly after 10 a.m., with a high near 28 and a low around 25 Monday night. Tuesday, there's a 30% chance of snow showers after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 33 and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Tune in to the WGXC 10th anniversary and celebrate 10 years of your friends and neighbors making radio with you and for you. The WGXC 10th Anniversary Pledge Drive is from February 15 to February 28, 2021. Visit our website at wavefarm.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to become a sustaining supporter at just 17 cents a day. Or $5 a month. Please help us make sure Creative Community Radio stays on the air for another 10 years. Call now, 518-697-7400, or visit our website, wavefarm.org/donate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Amanda Lees of Freehold, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare an emergency to exist.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Green Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I am from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things.
And today is a special day because we are celebrating WGXC's upcoming 10-year anniversary of being on the airwaves. And we are honored as a radio show to have been on WGXC from the very beginning and are really grateful to WGXC for allowing space from the very beginning for youth voices on the radio. And we have some fellow radio producers with us today from another one of WGXC's youth radio shows, Clubhouse Radio. And so we're going to start off the show by chatting with our guests here about their show. So we have Phoebes and Lincoln here today from Clubhouse Radio. I don't know if you all want to introduce yourself.
I'm Lincoln, 14, from Catskill.
Yeah, and I'm Phoebes, and I help coordinate programs as a staff person at the Clubhouse, Catskill Clubhouse. And so I've been working with the radio program, folks like Lincoln and some other youth who've come through for, and we just realized, 2 years this month.
Yay.
It's good to be on with y'all.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So you're all based at the Catskill Clubhouse, and I know there's a Hudson Clubhouse too. Is Clubhouse Radio always produced out of Catskill, or is it sometimes out of Hudson? Are the hosts a mix, or is it one side of the river or the other? How does that work?
So we have, I don't know how to describe it. We have different hosts. So like for 2 weeks, we would have, let's say me, I would be a host. And then 2 weeks, like the following 2 weeks, we have somebody else's host. So we tend to switch it up a lot just so multiple people can get an opportunity, I guess you could say.
And you're all from different places too, right? Like Lincoln, you're Catskill based, but then we got Shahi over in Hudson who sound engineers regularly. And then Amani is a host regularly and she goes to Caro. So we get to bring together youth from different spaces, which is fun.
Shout out to Shahi. I miss Shahi. COVID's hard for many reasons, but one is I don't get to see all of the youth as much.
Yeah, but we do broadcast specifically out of the Catskill Clubhouse because that is where our equipment and the studio is set up. So the youth who are farther from Catskill will travel, which is nice. We do transportation, actually. So if anyone hears the show and is interested, they can get in touch with the clubhouse.
What is your show like? Is there a certain theme or sort of a layout to a show that you all use?
Well, we tend to think about our ideas before the actual show. Like we'll have like a pre-discussion, I guess you could say, and we'll talk about themes we want to have. Like if we want to have like old school topics on artists and stuff like that, it all just depends on how we feel that certain week, I guess.
Yeah, we've always kept it pretty. We were more structured in the beginning. And I think as we've grown and as like the youth's own like confidence in the show has grown, we've given them more and more ability to change that structure and sort of meet their desires to keep it really driven by them. So like Lincoln's saying, like, you know, sometimes we'll text a few days in advance because like there's like a really obvious idea or a current event that we know we want to talk about. And sometimes we just roll it on Friday and we're like, okay, what we got? And you know, it's the host, which Lincoln's generally in a host role, like responsibility to make sure we got something, but we all try to contribute as a team and think about ideas together or even like poll other people in the clubhouse to be like, what do y'all want to hear about? And so the topics are rotating. I think the theme or the thread that brings it together and what it started it was like, we think, you know, we're a space at the clubhouse that's designed to empower youth and to give youth the confidence to feel like their ideas are important and like that they understand their own needs. So it's all about creating a platform where basically like Lincoln, where y'all can get into what matters to you and feel like you have a space where you can get your opinions and ideas in the world, right? That you as youth are influencing the world around you. So we've talked about, goodness, like so many different topics in that realm, from experiences with school to mental health to politics, you know, we'll get into. It really actually runs a pretty wide gamut. The thread is like, what do we care about? What's impacting our lives? And what do we have to say about it?
So we just had our friend Jada join us. Hi, Jada.
I was just changing my name.
Ah.
It says hi, and then it says her, and then it says she is awesome.
Cool. Very nice. So we were just talking with Phoebes and Lincoln from Clubhouse Radio and learning more about their show. And one difference between our show right now and Clubhouse Radio is that we don't broadcast live currently. We used to, and then the schedule got changed up and didn't quite work for all of our co-hosts. So we adjusted and became a show where we record together and then upload it for playing once the show is on. But I remember the both like challenges and fun of doing a live show. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with live radio? And maybe for Lincoln, since I don't know, with Phoebes too, maybe that you're new to radio, I assume, as a young person. So what has the growth been like there? Like how do you feel in terms of your radio skills from when you started to now?
So for me personally, when I first started, I was very nervous, you know, first time coming on. And they had me, I think the first time I came on, I did the intro for the show, and that was very scary for me because I never really had practice with it. I was nervous. But then, like, as I started to come on the show more, started hosting and stuff, I got more confident in it, and then I got less shy. And then recently, I got taught how to do like the soundboard and all that good stuff. So now I can do multiple things. I can sound engineer and I can host at the same time. So my skill level went from barely being able to host to now being able to host and sound engineer at the same time. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome seeing Lincoln drop into that last week. And I'm so grateful to WGXC that they provide this sort of platform where people who otherwise would not have the chance, like myself included, have the chance necessarily to learn radio skills suddenly do, and that they make it accessible to so many different situations. Like for y'all, you need a different accessibility to have your people on, and they make that work. And for us, the live show has continued to work, but we've had to pre-record many a show because life happens, or we hit up WGXC and say, we're so sorry, can you play an archive this week? Folks are on vacation. So like, you know, we just roll with the punches. And I think that's possible, and it can be fun to learn together because WGXC has been both so supportive and so understanding when things happen. I don't know, like Lincoln. Yeah, like how do you feel about like that pressure, right? Of like, is there a good balance of like pressure to show up, but like, you know, it's okay if things mess up? Or
I mean, pressure, I feel like I'm good under pressure. It's not really like I'm pressured to show up, but it's like time management kind of. If I have things to do prior to that, sometimes I'll like rush because I know I have to be there at a certain time, but I don't feel like nervous or like I have to rush, but at the same time, I feel like I have to, if that makes sense.
So it's like you don't want to lower everybody's expectations because you're not there, but at the same time, you know that you don't have to be there?
Yeah, basically. Well, I know I do have to be there, but I know if I can't make it, that it's not a big deal because there's other people there who can take over for me.
Yeah, I mean, how's that been for all of you? Like, you know, that's one of the things always is different folks having to step in and back each other up or making sure somebody's on. So,
reminds me of a funny story. Yeah. So once I was on with Emily, and then we waited and waited, and then it turned out that we were the only two people there, and it was like, we were not used to, remember Emily, we were not so used to when everybody wasn't there, so we were like, and so, but what's really good about it is this opportunity for other kids to start radio. For example, my friend Georgia is on sometimes. Unfortunately, she can't be on today, but.
Yeah, Georgia's one of our newer co-hosts, but is on break this week, and they forgot radio never takes a break.
Couldn't be me forgetting what day it is again. I spent all day thinking it was Tuesday.
It's Georgia's birthday this week.
Yeah, happy birthday, Georgia. Woo!
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Do y'all have any questions for Phoebes and Lincoln?
Well, Phoebes, I want to know if you can tell me when I would be able to listen to the show.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we are live Fridays at 6 p.m. We're on for an hour, so we go 6 to 7. We drop in after the news and weather, and then the show gets replayed Sunday at 10 a.m. There might be a 4 a.m. window also that it comes through, but I don't know about that one because I'm not awake at 4 a.m.
What station is it on?
WGXE 90.7 FM.
I remember that. Why did I forget?
Catch me in that 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. window where I can't sleep listening to your show.
Right? I know somebody appreciates the 4 a.m. I know everyone's got their own sleeping universe, so I'm glad you can benefit from the 4 a.m. Oh my God,
I feel like I've become like nocturnal. I wake up at like noon and nothing even happens anymore. I'm so tired all the time.
I sleep so much that my mom has to drive to the Catskills to drop my sister off when I'm sleeping. And then by the time that I wake up and start to read a book, she's about halfway back, I would guess, because
I've had situations like that. I've woken up and during times when like none of my parents are in the house. I'm just like, well, I guess they're gone forever. Might as well go back to sleep. I swear it's like emerging every morning. It's like trying to like get out of a cocoon, like you're awake but you don't have the will to open your eyes, so you just go back to sleep, and then you just cycle through that like five times before you finally can open your eyes. It's like, well, my eyes are open now, but I only have the energy to like keep them open for like maybe 5 seconds at a time.
Well, what I find happens is when I start anew because I'm on break today. And for the rest of the week, yes. So what happened was I woke up. I don't feel Aaliyah jumping on my back, which is great. And then I look out the window. Mom's already halfway down the driveway. I'm like, okay, you could have at least screamed in my ear and told me. I just love to sleep all the time.
Well, for everyone who's awake or is able to take in this information while they're sleeping and listening to the radio, so we're celebrating WGXE's 10th anniversary of being on the airwaves here in Greene and Columbia counties and wherever else it reaches. I know that sometimes I can hear it down into Dutchess County, sometimes up into Rensselaer, and of course people can listen online as well. But we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of both the radio station and Bound by Books, yay! And the 2-year anniversary of Clubhouse Radio. And we are also hoping people out there listening will either call in or go online and support WGXC to help keep WGXC on the air another year, another 2 years, another 10 years, so that we can keep hearing amazing community voices, youth voices on the airwaves every day. And so to make a donation, you can go to wgxc.org/donate or give a call at 518-697-7400. So again, that's 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org/donate. Donations of every amount are welcome and appreciated. You can also become a sustaining donor, which I think is a great option. I certainly
love. And if you donate a lot, it's just going to come up automatically. So press that link. Hooray.
Yay.
Thanks, technology.
Yeah, so I really appreciate the sustaining donor option because then you can just give a set amount every month. You don't have to think about it. It can be automated. It's really helpful to WGXC knowing that they can count on that funding every month. So it's really great on both the donor end and the organization end. You could give $10 a month in honor of the 10th anniversary. And, you know, that'll come out to $120 for the year or $5 a month, which is just 34 cents a day. So it doesn't have to be a huge amount, although huge amounts are welcome too. But go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to help keep WGXC on the air and to celebrate 10 years of community radio. Yay. Does anyone have any questions for either Clubhouse Radio or Bound by Books?
I have a question for the Clubhouse Radio. So have you guys ever gone over like what you think of people changing their own genders?
Have we? I don't really remember.
We have actually. Lincoln, this was before you were on the show. I could go back and try to find the archive and send it to y'all as well. We did it during a Pride month, so I think it would have been in June at some point, and we invited a non-binary genderqueer identifying person who was actually an AmeriCorps volunteer up at the Prattsville Arts Center, and they were willing to come down. And at that time, we also had a non-binary person who was a member of the clubhouse, and so they were on the radio to do the interview. Yeah, so we actually did a whole hour-long show where we got into gender and pronouns and what it means to have your gender identity respected and the shift in culture around that. So we have gotten into that. I'm really glad. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and so y'all always have this framework of books that brings you together, but I imagine that still opens up the window to talk about many, many things. So what do y'all get into in your show, or what kind of conversations do you have?
Oh my gosh. Well, we do have a tendency to like spiral sometimes, but for the most part, we do try to keep the focus on books, or at least on book related media. Like, we've talked about some TV shows based off of books before, because that just adds a little bit of variety. But like, the good thing about books is like, there's always so much variety. No show is really the same. I mean, we have our themes, like our favorite books, our least favorite books. We talk about Wings of Fire and Ernest Hemingway often, but you know, those are just our little inside things. Those are our little like inside jokes. But most of the time, it's just an incredible amount of variety. And I like to imagine that the people that watch our show regularly notice those little inside things sometimes, and they're like, they recognize them. But usually it's all kinds of different things. And especially around like holiday seasons, we get to talk about horror or like Christmas related stories. And it's always a lot of fun, because there are like an infinite amount of kinds of books in the world. So you could, any given show could be about anything. That's a lot of fun.
Definitely. That makes a ton of sense. It reminds me a little bit, and Lincoln can speak to this too, about how music has come into our show, because it's sort of a similar thing where music, we do a ton of segments that are just playing music that we love, but it ends up being a theme, right? Like the lyrics of the song become a theme, or when it's from, or who the artist was. So I relate to that like books can cover anything or any topic in theory. Same with music for us. It's been like, and it's a nice entry point to get into some conversations too.
I love music too. I remember when we used to like play songs before and after our segments. It was so much fun.
We have like this whole segment that we usually do. It's called Rap Radar. We find a theme and then come up with a bunch of songs that fit that theme. And then we'll play a song, talk about how, like, say how we feel about it. And then next one, same thing. And then we just use that as like half a segment. And then sometimes we talk about how like past rappers that have passed away, stuff like that, and talk about like how they influence us sometimes. It's a lot. So music plays a part in our show in a big way.
Do you have like a most memorable show, Lincoln?
That's a tough question.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think most memorable one was when we did a show on the Capitol building where all that stuff happened. We talked about how we felt about the Capitol building security, I guess, and what they could have done compared to what they did. And then we compared it to other like Black Lives Matter movements and how they reacted to those compared to that. It was like a great discussion between us. And then we played a poem. Wait, no, that was a different one. Never mind. But we just did a lot of stuff. So it was one of my most memorable shows.
How about Amelia and Lena? Do you have a most memorable show from your time on Bound by Books?
I remember the only episode I did back in 2017 where I was on the radio alone, and I basically got to like just go off about those ology books that I love so much, the very decorative ones. And I just in a panic went off about those for I think like the entire half hour, because I wasn't sure what to say and I wasn't sure what to do, being on my own for the first time. I feel like if I was to do that now, I'd be a little bit more structured, but you know, I am still me and I do still have those ology books. So maybe I would still do the same thing, but just do it consciously this time.
But you did fill the time, right? You did it.
I did fill
it's
the time.
Sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Before I knew it, it was like time to end. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. Yeah. I know Lincoln's had those experiences, right? Where you're just like, where'd the show go? I was worried we wouldn't even have enough content to fill it. And then you're like, I want more.
Sure. Sometimes you just go with the flow and it feels so good that you just lose track of time, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Especially, I tend to hyperfixate on certain topics, so I could talk about certain things for hours.
Yeah, we only have one of them. 30 minutes. That's the struggle sometimes, especially when there's a lot of us here, is that it's hard to fit everybody in because we like to each talk about a book. So some weeks, if there's a lot of youth here, I don't even share a book. Just sit back and listen, ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually started at 30 minutes now that I'm thinking about it. I think we did start at 30 and then very quickly we're like, a full hour is going to be necessary because of that, like to get all the voices on. And it's just such a shame when you feel like you have to like end a conversation too quickly, you know? But I know what's also nice about WGXC is we have some youth who are using that equipment and WGXC stream just to produce what are like podcasts, we, you know, effectively are treating them as, where there's no guarantee they're going to be live on the radio, but it's a spillover space. And that we do have that extra energy that we're still making content together. So we had somebody at the clubhouse start a podcast called School During Corona, where he gets on every other week or so. And sometimes he brings guests, or it's just he and I talking about what's going on with schools and advocacy and policy issues and how students are doing in school. And it's ended up, you know, being our backup when Clubhouse Radio needs a break, or WGXC's played them in a few times. So yeah, I like how WGXC allows us to be sort of creative and find new opportunities where there's enthusiasm to have stuff on the air. And I think once people, my experience, once people get into it, it's kind of, I'm a little addicted to it. I really like it. I don't know about y'all, but I think radio is a lot of fun. I also listen to radio a ton. I don't know if y'all, have you, I'm curious, especially as young people, like if you listen to more radio because you're on the radio, or like do you care more? Are you more conscious of what's happening on the radio?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, for me, when I was younger, before I like started radio and stuff, I used to think the radio was like for boring old people, I guess. Like, I think it was really boring. And so whenever it would come on the radio, I used to always change it because I didn't like it. But now it's more like interesting because you get to hear other people's, like basically life stories sometimes, ways other people think about things. It's just interesting compared to how I felt about it when I was younger.
It's one of the nice things about WGXC too, is that you can hear like your friends and neighbors on the radio and strangers too, but they're like people that are local and, you know, feels more real.
Yeah, it feels so much more meaningful than commercial radio in that way. Everything is like a little closer to home. And I also love that empowered feeling of like, wow, I tend to hate the music they play on mainstream radio. I get to subvert that and I get to be on the radio. We get to play excellent music. We do play excellent music, or music, you know, especially with rap music. So much rap music does not end up getting airplay on the radio because it needs edits that aren't happening or people aren't prioritizing that. So I've loved having a space for us to play music that otherwise wouldn't be on the air. And then if there's somebody like Lincoln, like a future Lincoln, who's, you know, 9 or 10 flipping through the radio, maybe this time he'd be like, oh, the radio is for me, you know. I hear music I like, which feels really important to, like, I appreciate all of you being willing to be on the radio and to like have your voices heard, because you're literally, by doing that, subverting and changing the whole culture of radio, which is like a powerful thing in our culture. So made us feel like y'all are just hopping on a Zoom and recording a thing, but it's actually changing media in really important ways. Appreciate y'all showing up for that.
I have a question for you guys. So what's your time frame? Like, what like time does your show air?
Yeah, so now we're on after you on Fridays. So we're on at 7 on Fridays. And then we're on Sundays at 9 after the news. So I think we're before you Sundays and after you Fridays. And I don't know if there's a 4 a.m. slot. We used to be Monday afternoons. That was when we... For years, we were Mondays at 3:30. And then I think a couple years ago, the schedule shifted and the youth shows got moved to a slightly later hour, which I think works.
Well, do you guys like prep before the, like, do you guys have a day before the show, like the day before you prep, and the day of the show, you're like already know what you're going to talk about? Or do you just kind of freestyle it and like just bring books to talk about?
We kind of freestyle it. We never know what the other person is going to bring to the table. It's all very freeform.
Yeah, I think there have been occasional shows where we've come up with an idea ahead of time. Like sometimes we might do a poetry show during National Poetry Month. And so we'll each bring some poems to share. Except for in COVID, there's been this book festival at the Hudson high school every year, the Hudson Children's Book Festival. And we've been doing a radio show for that festival for a number of years, where the Friday before the festival, we would either gather at the studio or here at the library and interview some of the authors and illustrators that come to town for that. And so for that show, we do a little bit of pre-planning, not a huge amount. It's still pretty free-flowing, but we might look up.
Those are my favorites. Those are my favorite shows. And yeah, like, it is all still kind of free-flowing. The only thing we really have to plan is like when certain groups of authors will come in, because we have to kind of cycle through them. Sometimes there's not enough room for all of them. Sometimes they're different age groups, but we do try to like interview all of them.
Yeah, that one's a live show, and that one's a bit more of a like, okay, we have to wrap up in 5 minutes. We can get the next group in so that they have time. Like,
it's kind of a rush though to do all that, you know. It's kind of like, I don't know. I'm still waiting for the day that we can like interview the guy who like illustrates the Bad Kitty books. We've never done that, and I kind of have a dream to do that because those books were my jam when I was little.
Make it happen,
please. I would love that. I'd probably cry. I would just be so happy to interview him.
Do you know what would make me cry?
What?
Tears of joy. Is if everyone out there listening right now would make a donation in support of WGXC by going online to wgxc.org/donate or giving a call to 518-697-7400 and helping keep WGXC on the air 10 more years. Woo! And some.
We love a flawless segue here.
Yes. Yeah, we're the masters of the segues here. Sometimes smoother than others. But on that note, we're actually just about out of time for today. But thank you so much, Phoebes and Lincoln, for joining us today and telling us about your show. We hope everyone out there listening either just heard it before this show or just heard it after, depending on when you're listening. And if not, you can go to wgxc.org and look for the audio archives and look up Clubhouse Radio and listen to the most recent show, as well as past shows going all the way back to February 2019, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing space with us and for letting us get together and just like send some love to WGXC.
Yay.
And to let us learn about your show as well. It's like, it's always really nice to connect with other programmers because sometimes we're in our own little universe. So it's nice to cross over.
Yeah. Well, we hope everyone out there listening, in addition to supporting WGXC, we hope you have a good week and lots of quality reading time. Next week, we'll be back to talk about some books. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
The Cellar and Point call themselves a garage chamber septet, and we'll hear their jazz infused with flourishes of electronics and rock on the next Deep Threes, plus music from Johnny Greenwood, Louise Rossiter, Core, and Kirill Platonkin. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM. On the phone with us, we've got Jack Mabb, the Columbia County Director of Health. Jack, are you there? Oops. Oh, now we can hear you, I guess. Thanks for calling in. I guess the big news locally, I guess, is Columbia County, Ulster County have both announced that canceling some vaccinations this week because of vaccinations not arriving. Is that right?
Beyond Ulster and Columbia County, it's pretty much a regional issue. For the vaccines that come our way, come out of Louisville, Kentucky, and they've been socked with the same winter storms that we're being socked with, and they just haven't been able to get the vaccine out of the distributing centers down there.
Yeah, they're not as equipped to deal with winter storms as we are, I guess, too, right?
I guess that's true. We did have a pod scheduled for tonight. It was a second dose pod for firemen and law enforcement. We had a pod scheduled for tomorrow, which was 400 doses, a big one, for senior citizens. And we also actually didn't get any first dose vaccine either. So we're looking at scheduling those for next week. Anybody who had a we have been on the phones. We've been calling people who were scheduled. But anybody who is listening, who was on for tonight, we're scheduling you for Wednesday of same time. Anybody who was on for tomorrow, we're scheduling you for Wednesday during the day at the same time. So again, those calls are going out today, glad to put the word out there.
And are people getting notified, or do they need to contact you if they had an appointment tonight?
Well, you know, truthfully, people have been contacting us because they've been hearing about it on the news and whatever. But we're calling everybody. The pod that was scheduled for tonight was organized through law enforcement and fire, and so there are folks within the sheriff's department, state police, whatever, who are contacting the folks that had those appointments. Tomorrow, the 400 for tomorrow, again, that was all seniors. We're contacting those people individually. We luckily have all of their personal information, so we're able to make those phone calls today. And we're notifying them of next week's reschedule.
And where are you, or where is Columbia County in terms of getting through the 1A, the 1B, and then the 65 plus, and then we've added comorbidities this week?
Yes, you know, that we started with that this week. Well, we're still in the process of the last numbers I looked at. We had something like 600 teachers and teacher employees that are part of 1B left to be vaccinated. Some of them have gone outside the county to the mass vaccination site in Albany and whatever, but we still have a big chunk of those folks. Firemen are probably the biggest category in 1B. We haven't gone through all of those folks as well. We did do a focused pod on grocery store clerks last week, and very grateful people. They didn't think they would get a shot for a very long time, but they're right up front there. They interact with hundreds and thousands of people a day. And we still have some of those folks left. We have a few. We've done a pretty good job of getting out to all of the developmental disabilities houses. They're part of 1B, and we've actually got a special allocation for those folks. We've done a pretty good job. I think we only have a handful of those folks left. But senior citizens, we're not able to do senior citizens without a special allocation from the governor's office. We didn't get that this week, we didn't get any vaccine this week, but we weren't scheduled to get that this week. Our understanding is that the pharmacies are up. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, ShopRite, Price Chopper, the Hannafords, they have vaccines, and they're up at this point in time. So senior citizens have to go to their pharmacy.
Well, that is one story I wanted to ask you about that I've been hearing is West Virginia is being touted as doing the best in the country on vaccines, and they opted out of the federal government's pharmacy program for senior citizens. I've heard county officials across the state complaining about the federal pharmacy program. Is that hampering you guys?
Well, I don't know about hampering, but if we just look at the numbers, my understanding is that the pharmacies in the county are going to get around 100 doses a week. So there's seven providers, there's seven pharmacies that have signed up to be providers. That's 700 doses. It's going to take them weeks to get through those kind of doses, bringing people through the store by one at a time by appointment. We could do that in a day. I could do that in 2/3 of a day. We can do about 100 doses an hour at our pods, and so I don't think it's a very efficient way of doing it. The argument has been that senior citizens have it's convenient for them to go to their pharmacy. When we have done pods for seniors, we have lots of wheelchairs available, and we have lots of volunteers to wheel people through the pod. Nothing but gratitude coming from the seniors for the opportunity to get the shot. So it's a little disappointing for me. It's a little frustrating for me that, you know, the Biden administration is talking about cranking up the pharmacies and giving them more. And again, I think that they schedule them on an individual basis, and and have people come through the store on an individual basis. They obviously can't interfere with their store operations. So I think we could do it a lot more efficiently, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think what I've read is that pre-pandemic, the counties all had, health departments all had a plan, and then the pandemic hits, and instead of using the plan, you put the federal people put the, this new plan on top of it. Is that a...
No, I don't think that's really not an accurate thing. It's actually the federal government, all the health departments across the state have received federal funds that have gone through the state of New York to actually employ a preparedness coordinator. And we do have a whole shelf full of plans for every contingency that we can implement. This pod design, this what we do when we do our pods, we've practiced it. I've been here for 15 years. We've practiced it for 15 years. Once a year, we practice doing it, setting it up. We are really well geared for it. It wasn't the feds. It was the state of New York.
The state of New York that did it.
And I don't think it was the state health department. Because the state health department has been a good partner, a solid partner with us all along when it comes to overseeing that process of being prepared.
So that sounds like it was a political decision.
Well, I think it was the governor. The governor's office made that decision that we would go the route that we did. We were told to gear up for months for the vaccines, and then this there was a hub thing designed. There's 10 hubs in New York State. They all center around a hospital in our capital region. It's Albany Med is the hub. And we were told to gear up to vaccinate EMS people, and then all of a sudden, the hospital is doing EMS people along with their own people, the 1As. So this emergency plan was thrown out the window. This whole pod plan was thrown out the window, and then we have been giving we are getting vaccines, but we can handle so much. We feel very comfortable that at our pod site at Columbia Green Community College, we could do 1,000 people a day.
Yeah, and so all this time, you feel like you could have been vaccinating more people if only you had more vaccines, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that any pod site, even the mass vaccination pod set up at SUNY Albany, the folks that run it feel the same way. And actually, when I watch the national news, everybody who's on there talking about this feels the same way. We could all do more, but we're not going to get the kind of vaccine that we thought we were going to get in volumes.
The Biden administration said at first that they were upping vaccines 16%, and then this week they've said, I think, 57% since a month ago. Locally, I've seen reports that the numbers were going up. Ulster County was reporting they were getting more, then they were getting more and more. And then the last 2 weeks, they've been getting less. So how has the supply been increasing?
Well, I think the supply has increased. But on the other hand, if the governor is opening up these mass vaccination sites, I understand that his plan was to open up 20 of them. There's 13 open, but he continues to open mass vaccination sites. So the more sites you have that are distributing vaccine, it dilutes down how many vaccines come to everybody. It would seem to have been a better plan to sort of build your core out from the hospitals and local health departments and build out from there as the vaccine supply increased more. So I think we could have been better utilized. I think we could have done a lot more vaccines. But again, that's just not the way it's happened. Our allotment last week was 200. We got 100 for the 1Bs, which is essentially the firemen, law enforcement, teachers, et cetera, and another 100 to do developmental disabilities, folks who are in congregate living situations. This week we were scheduled to get another 100 for 1Bs and also 100 for folks with comorbidities. And if you look at that category in the county, and I don't have a definitive number, but we're looking at thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people, and I got 100 doses, which, again, is frustrating. It's gratifying when you can put the shot in people's arms and you know that, you know, these folks have comorbidities and you're essentially protecting them. It's very gratifying, but at the same time, there are thousands of people who are eligible that aren't going to get the shot at any time soon.
Yeah, it seems like what's frustrating is you know, the week that 65 plus went live, there wasn't a huge increase in vaccine. And so you've got just about the same amount of vaccine, but a lot more people calling because they're eligible. And the same thing happened this week with the comorbidities, right?
Yes. Yeah. And again, and to some degree, it makes no sense to expand the people who can get the shot when you have thousands of people left who are in the categories that have already been opened. But I didn't make that decision.
Is it partially because so that more people can be around if there's leftover doses or something? You know, is leftover doses an issue locally? Do you have at the end of the day people not showing up for appointments and then whoever just happens to be standing around gets a shot in the arm, or does that not happen locally?
No, we really aren't allowed to do it that way. So if we have to, our lane, if you will, is 1Bs, unless we get a special allotment like we have for the comorbidities. So we're supposed to be doing 1Bs. I can't put a shot in, I couldn't actually put a shot in the nurse's arm who didn't get the shot before. See, that nurse is a 1A, even if she worked on a COVID ward. I can't give her a shot because it's not my lane. So what we do, and I will say we have very few people who don't show up for their appointment because everybody wants a shot. But we do have some of these vials produce extra doses. We've gotten, you know, out of 100 out of 10, the vials, these are Moderna. We get Moderna down here. There are 10 doses in each vial. Sometimes we get 11. And so over the course of a pod, we might, out of 10 vials, we might get 6 or 7 extra shots. Those have to go to 1Bs. And we have a waiting list of people to we call up and say, come in, we have an extra dose, and they have to go to 1Bs.
So you don't have because I've seen on TV lines of people waiting in a standby line in case they have extra doses at the end of the day. But there's none of that here locally.
No, there's none of that here. I don't know that any other county health department is doing it. Again, we've been told to be very strict about it and just do the people that fit into the category. So if I do have a special allotment, let's say for seniors, which I did up until last week, we have a list of seniors who are eligible, and it's like, can you get here? And then we go to that list. But again, it might be 4 or 5 people. Where we got extra doses, and we don't open we open a vial, we have to use the vial within 6 hours, so we're very careful about being very very tight on scheduling. And if somebody doesn't show up for the pod, we call them. It's like, you know, you didn't make your appointment. Are you coming in? Can you get in here now? We can give you the shot. So we have in 10 weeks we have not wasted a single dose.
So I've got a couple listener questions, and one of them is on this subject. It says, why not do as neighboring Dutchess is doing and have a link or I guess a website so folks can give info and get notifications when it's their turn, as opposed to having to keep refreshing and checking a page?
Yeah, I noticed a lot of counties are going to sort of a pre-registration system, and that's a manpower issue. I mean, again, so people sign up and they get on a list, and then they have to be called, and so that's kind of labor intensive at this point in time. And we've taken a look at that, and again, what we have done with the grocery store clerks, we did a focused pod where we didn't put a link up. We contacted grocery stores. They helped us line up who was going to get the shot. We got lists and whatever, and then we verified people at the pod. I don't see us moving in the direction of a pre-registration. The only thing that we have done pre-registration, not really pre-registration, we have seniors, we have a call center at 401 that takes calls every day, and they're still pretty busy. But they also started taking names and telephone numbers of people who have no computer and no ability to actually sign up through a website, and so we have that as a reserve list of people that we can call in.
Here's anecdotal questions, but in my household, there is a senior citizen who signed up through I think the state website originally and got an April appointment, and then my wife was at the grocery store where there's a pharmacy and was talking to the pharmacist and said, oh, we've got slots later in the day, and then and got her mother signed up and got shots later in the day. So that seems slightly unfair and inequitable. But is that what's going on in Columbia County?
That's what's going on everywhere. I think it is. It's not equitable. It's not fair. When we next week, we're going to get you for our first doses. We're going back to putting a link out on our website, and it becomes just like trying to get concert tickets. It's a free for all, and it's first come first serve. The person who gets in there first and gets their name in, it really isn't fair. It isn't equitable. So when I open up a link like that for comorbidities, let's say, the 23-year-old with diabetes under control has the same chance of getting a slot as the senior citizen with multiple comorbidities, who is truly in danger of losing their life if they get the virus. It's not fair. It's not a reasonable way of doing this. But when you have such a limited supply of vaccine, you know, and you want to try to be fair to everybody, that's how it ends up getting put out.
Yeah, I'll say. Then the second person in my household is a comorbidities person, and so they were just eligible on Sunday and spent a long time refreshing, and got an appointment in Utica in April, I think. I can't remember. It's March or April, but I don't know what that is. That is commentable, but that's, you know, like you say, everyone's refreshing. Do you get a sense that there's going to be a lot more vaccine in a month or soon or at some point?
No, I have to tell you, and then, you know, just might be my pessimistic view on it, but I see where Johnson & Johnson might have 10 or 20 million doses available when they finally get FDA approval. They're promising 100 million by June. I think that we're not going to get to the point where even our capacity at Columbia Green, that 1,000 a day capacity, we're not going to get to the point where we're ever going to see that. We're going to keep 500 or 600. I'd love to see 500 or 600 doses a day, but I think this is going to trickle along from now until the end of July, and we should be reasonably close to getting most people who want the vaccine by then. But I don't see a dramatic increase in supply in the next couple months.
Is there any other important news you want to get across to people about as testing or vaccines?
Well, I understand your frustration. I really truly do. It's incredibly frustrating for my staff. You set up a pod for 100 doses. I mean, we could be there all day and do 1,000. So yeah, everybody has to be patient. I don't know how to make the system any better. You can't retrofit a Ford factory to make a vaccine. So the manufacturers, I think, are going full tilt, and this is kind of just what it is. And hang in there. Follow the guidelines. Wear your mask. Socially distance. And as far as and again, I point out, you got people getting appointments in Utica, 2 hours away. If the vaccine was coming to localities and the kind of quantities that we could get if we didn't have these, mass vaccination sites, people wouldn't be traveling 2 hours to get it. It is what it is. But I don't know what more we can do at this point in time.
The incredibly good news is the numbers are dropping locally dramatically recently, right?
Actually, across the whole region, we had 17 cases this morning. That's a little bit of a bump up from last week. I think we might be seeing some post
Super Bowl party
things, because there was a couple of days we were in single digits. We had 18 yesterday, 26 the day before. So I think that those are a heck of a lot better numbers than we had back in early January. Our record high, if you will, was 86. We had some 77, 78 days. We had lots of 50 positive days. But I'll take the numbers. I think our rolling average is now down below 3%. I'll take it. You know, definitely take it. It means that transmission isn't happening as quickly out there, and people are. And once the warmer weather comes and we're outside more, I think we'll keep the numbers down. I think that's really the good news. That we I think transmission wise.